Welcome to Epilepsy Unplugged, a new podcast from the Epilepsy Foundation of Texas.
This is the space to have real conversations about what it's like to live with epilepsy, learn from experts, and celebrate the heroes in our community. My name is Taylor Goldenthal.
And I'm Melanie Leonard.
And I'm Rebecca Moreau. Let's get started.
Yeah. Today, we are thrilled to be joined by a very special guest for our very first episode of Epilepsy Unplugged, the new CEO, Epilepsy Foundation of Texas, Chris Justel. Welcome, Chris.
Well, thanks for having me on.
So Chris is a person that has lived with epilepsy since he was a teenager. Chris has a deeply personal connection to our community and has recently taken the helm of the foundation. And we're excited that he's now leading our mission into the future. So Chris, welcome to Epilepsy Unplugged.
I'm excited to be here, excited to be the first guest. We'll see how this goes.
Yep, we're going to see how this goes. We are all very excited, all very green in this new avenue, so super excited.
To be nice in the chat, right?
Yes.
Please like and subscribe.
Please.
On your favorite podcast platform.
On all of them. All right, so Chris, I'm just going to start us off with, why would the foundation start a podcast?
Yeah, well, it's kind of a funny story, right? So one thing I think that the foundation just needs to get better at is getting out in the community more, being more visible. We are, or I consider us to be the hidden gem of Texas. Like we do tons of great work, but no one knows about us until you need us. And I think that that's kind of a shame because I know there's a lot more people that actually need our services, whether it be clinics, camps, support, whatever we offer. But unless you have someone who's probably, you know, just said, hey, call Rebecca or call Melanie, you don't know how to contact us and you've probably never heard of us. Although we are the first hit if you search epilepsy in Texas. You're the first ones up there.
Yeah. Yes.
So for a new listener, as well as someone who is new to the foundation as well, what is the overall mission for Epilepsy Foundation Texas?
Yeah. I mean, overall, what we want for every Texan is that no one faces epilepsy alone, period, right?
Yeah.
Everyone needs something different. Everyone has a very personal journey when it comes to epilepsy. I know a few of us here hosting and on this podcast have been down certain journeys with epilepsy, and each of ours are unique, and each of our ERs are different. So overall, we are just here to support anyone and everyone who needs help, whether it's a patient or a family member, a distant relative, I don't care. If you need help, we're here to help.
Absolutely. Just maintaining that visibility as much as we can. The podcast specifically, what are we hoping to accomplish here?
Yeah, I mean, number one is letting people know we are here, right? Number two is then giving you, you know, content that's relatable. I hope people find some comfort in that they are not truly alone in this.
Right.
We and your journey may be unique, but there's always people that you can go to get help. Thirdly is we also want to provide really relevant medical information. We want people to know what's going on in neurology and epileptology, so that they can go to their doctors and have a, you know, great conversation about what is the right treatment for them.
Yeah. So we were talking about journeys and where epilepsy came into to other people's lives along the way. How did it come into your life, and what's your journey been like with epilepsy?
Yeah, great question. So mine started in high school. I was a junior. I was in English class. I didn't know it happened, but collapsed on the floor, went unconscious, apparently started shaking, apparently on my left arm in particular is what I heard. I don't remember that. I was just out. I remember the scariest thing is being wakened or, you know, coming back from the unconscious to the conscious, and lights are blaring at me in the face. Paramedics are shoving masks on my face, telling me not to move. People are screaming, what's your name? I'm like, I don't know.
No clue.
No
clue. You wake up from a seizure, you have, I don't know my name, where I am, what year it is. It's almost like a computer rebooting sometimes.
Well, and that's what my, you know, neurologist, when I then arrived at the emergency room after being shuttled off in an ambulance, which is scary enough.
Yeah.
I'm like, what in the heck happened? They're like, well, you had a seizure from everything we can tell you had a seizure. And I'm like, what is that? And they're like, well, yeah. It's similar to like a surge protector for your brain. You have abnormal brain activity that's going wild. Your body says, time to shut down and restart. And so, I mean, that's how I was introduced into it. Now, I mean, I can talk all day about the subsequent seizures I had,
yeah.
but that's my very personal connection. Is it started as a junior in high school.
I think it's very scary. You hinted on is like the time loss, right? Leading up to the episode and then afterwards and still being so spotty as well. Just that total block of time. I remember with my three episodes that I had before I got on medication and a formal diagnosis, I'd black out essentially 20 minutes beforehand, have grand mal seizures, and then come to 20 minutes after that with essentially an hour of time completely missed.
Yeah.
Well, time doesn't really even exist. I mean, we can go very philosophical here, right? Like, what's the essence of the universe?
Time is a round circle.
But I mean, it does lend a little insight. I mean, the seizure itself for the person having it, it's very peaceful.
Yeah.
Like, well, your worries are gone. Everything's great, hunky-dory. Yeah. And then it's probably like being reborn. And I kind of feel bad for babies. Like, they come in and it's scary. Like this world is scary.
Yeah.
But it's also very wonderful to be alive. And we're very lucky here in Texas to be around such strong medical communities.
Yeah.
And you're all talking about your tonic-clonic seizures, but there's people who have absent seizures that, you know, their seizures are staring off and, you know, it can happen hundreds of times a day. So when you talk about, you know, time loss, like imagine like 2 to 5 seconds, 100 times a day.
Yeah.
Like it's really coming out of that you're like, where am I?
And I think for me, what was part of it being so scary early on is the fear in the people's eyes around you because they don't know what to do or what's going on.
Oh, I remember that very distinctly. Yeah. Like in the hospital, my parents were there.
Yes.
And it was the first time I think I'd ever genuinely seen them terrified.
Yes.
Which makes you more terrified.
Yes.
Because you're like, I don't know what's going on.
No clue.
They don't know what's going on. They're supposed to help me through this, but they're ill-equipped. It is one of those unpredictable things in life.
Yeah. At camp, something that happens to our campers is that they see a seizure for the first time.
Correct.
And then there's an understanding of like, oh, that's why mom and dad were looking at me like that. They start to see themselves in the seizure and they become their mom and dad. And so it's like a new understanding.
You know, that was my exact experience. Going to the teen weekend camp for the first time. I'd been having seizures at that point for maybe a couple of years. But actually seeing it, I remember going home and actually hugging my mom and being like, Mom, I'm so sorry. That was the most terrifying thing. But it was very empowering to then see them after a few minutes. Maybe they needed 20 minutes or an hour to take a nap, relax. But they get back up and go back out. If we were playing kickball and they had the seizure in the middle of kickball, they might go and sit for a rest again, but then be like, okay, it's my turn. I want to kick again. And so that was very inspiring for me because my family at that point wasn't really letting me do anything the day after I had a seizure. I kind of had to stay in my bed for 24 hours, but then I went to camp and it was like, well, mama, when I went to camp, this girl had a seizure in the middle of the kickball field. She went and sat down for a minute and 15 minutes later, she was back out there. So I think I can go back to school. I think I can continue to do what I was doing today. I may be a little tired or groggy, but just because I had the seizure, it should not stop my life.
Yeah, you don't have to miss out on your
life.
Yeah,
I don't have to miss out on the things, but it was the education or the getting to see it actually happen for that empowered me to then have the conversation with my mom of, hey, I don't have to sit here all day or I don't have to just lay in bed. If I feel like I can get up, like, let me get up and go back and play with my friends.
Well, and I mean, there are some blessings that come out of epilepsy. And I think that the idea of perseverance is one of them, right? If I would not encourage anyone with epilepsy to just sit around eating Cheetos on a beanbag all day, right? Like, get up and be active. Live your life. Now, don't do anything that's really going to put yourself in harm's way.
Correct.
There is a limit, right? And we all need to be careful of that. And an example for me is like, since that time when I was 16, I've never taken a bath. I won't do it, period. I don't even care if someone's there with me. Freaks me out because no one's going to be able to haul a 220-pound guy out of the bathtub, right?
Yeah.
So there are some limitations that are legitimate, but for the most part, everyone, whether it's, you know, parents or the patient, need to show that resilience and grit, and you will get there over time. But that's where I think, like, to expedite that process, coming and talking to someone at the foundation can be so powerful.
Get ready for a night of fun and fundraising. Join Epilepsy Foundation of Texas for our annual event, The World is Your Oyster, on October 18th at the Downtown Houston Aquarium. This is a great time to enjoy a night out while supporting the epilepsy community. Find out more at the Epilepsy Foundation of Texas website, EFTX.org.
Wondering, Taylor, since you were diagnosed as an adult, is it different, like, going through that grieving process of losing some independence at the beginning, or how was that as an adult?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think mostly for me, something that I've struggled with is the reliance on needing to take a pill every day. You know, I have two young children, I have a wife, and it's, number one, it's the anxiety that I can see in her eyes. Mm-hmm. If I have a headache, if I mention I have a headache, it's like, well, are you okay? How are your meds? This and that. If I have a headache, sometimes myself even, like, oh, did I get enough sleep last night? Like, is my stress piling up? Things of that nature. Because mine, we came to find out, were stress induced. Yeah. So I think it's that element to it could be very challenging. But at the same time, I'm a firm believer of, you know, every day is the best day to have a diagnosis in terms of, like, modern medicine and where we are as a society and the resources available. So I just can't imagine what it was like, you know, 30 years ago, 50 years ago, even more recently with all the advancements that we have had. And I just think about how my life would be if not for the person that was following me while I was driving and stopped my car and pulled me out of a car. And I came to in the back of an ambulance, and thank God no one was injured, that I didn't crash into anything. But I just can't help but think about how fortunate I am that while I do have this diagnosis, it doesn't define what my life has to be. I still am able to drive. I'm still able to live a very normal life. I just have to take a few extra precautions along the way.
All right. So, you know, we were kicking off this podcast. I want to hear from you all. Like, what excites you the most about season one of Epilepsy Unplugged?
Can you even believe we're doing season one of Epilepsy Unplugged? It's just like,
I know.
So what I'm really excited about is having the word epilepsy spoken, and that we're not hiding behind anything. Like, this is real life. This is what people with epilepsy go through. And it's just another avenue where people will get to learn about our stories, about the hope that is out there, about how you can get connected to other people in the community. So I'm just really excited about being able to be out there, say epilepsy, and let people know we're here.
Yeah. I think for me, Chris, I'm just really excited about getting to share what the Epilepsy Foundation does, all of the great thing that they've done. Because for me, I truly believe I would not be the woman I am today if it wasn't for all of the access to the foundation I had as a teenager. Because my mom will tell you, I've always been a little headstrong and wanted to be independent.
You don't say.
Just a little bit. But, and the Epilepsy Foundation helped empower me to do that, because they told me, hey, you can go to high school, you can go to college, you can have a job, you can get married, you can do all of those things. Because when you first get diagnosed, you were told a lot about what you can't do. And so for me, I'm super excited to get to share all of the things that people with epilepsy do, and see how we can better support Texans with epilepsy. Super excited.
It's very well said. I don't know how I'm going to follow that, but I am. For me, honestly, I'm most excited just to, number one, be able to volunteer my time and my energy, and then also get to learn more along the, with the audience. I'm very green to this, and I'm just very excited just to hear about the overall impact that we can make and participate.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a great episode one, I will say, and it's been such an honor to have Chris with us today to kick it off and let us know about the vision and what the Epilepsy Foundation is up to. And I hope that you guys come back episode after episode and hear more stories and reach out to us and subscribe and do all those things, right?
Yeah. Subscribe, like, share on all of your favorite platforms.
Yeah.
And we'll see you guys next time.
See you next time. Bye, Texas.
Bye.
That's a wrap on another episode of Epilepsy Unplugged. We want to thank our guests for sharing their story and experience.
And we want to thank you for listening. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe and leave a review on your favorite podcast app, as it really helps us grow this community.
You can also connect with us and Epilepsy Foundation Texas by visiting EFTX.org. Until next time, stay strong and stay informed.